The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
We are back, second hour of the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Statman, with you on this 25th day of August 2020. What, 69 days to election? And the funny thing about this is, folks, I don't know if you've considered this, and I'm starting to hear this from, well, people that were kind of on in the intelligence movement at one time have woke up and are now speaking out going, you know, if Donald Trump gets elected, or if he doesn't get elected, we're kind of screwed both ways. And I've made mention of this. Donald Trump gets reelected, you're going to see the Democrats go absolutely ape crap. You're going to see signaling and all kinds of stuff going on. And there's even suggestion of attacks are going to be very well coordinated. And I'm even hearing that from China, bolts for the AK-47s to convert them to automatic. And that there are RPGs that are going to be made available and stuff is going to be blown up and destroyed. Well, if that's going to happen, well, then, let it happen. Nobody wants to talk about purging. How do you get rid of communists? Well, you purge them. But they're going to offer us the opportunity to purge them if we, the citizenry of this country, are violently attacked. And as I said, I want you to pay close attention to this, that the police in this country have been put in a spot that nobody wants to be in. And they see what's going on. They're starting to understand. And a lot of these guys in blue weren't around. Some of them might have even been post-diaper age when the militia started back in the 90s in this country, the early 90s. Why? Well, Bill Clinton and the Attorney General, Janet Reno, were outwardly saying we're going to ban the weapons and this, that, and the other, and people instinctively knew they get rid of the guns, they can get rid of you. David in San Francisco. Hello, David.
Oh, yeah. Hi, John. I started calling or listening to RBN basically because of the Kennedy assassination.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, you had a number of different people. There were Webster Tarpley. You had, what was his name, Piper, Michael Collins Piper.
Mm-hmm.
You had a number of different people. Even Michael Rivero used to deal with JFK issues. And so, you know, about an hour ago, you were talking about, you know, the Democrats having security state people entering their party and in opposition to Trump. And it raises the issue, as you're probably aware, with the John F. Kennedy assassination, that there were dirty CIA people that were involved in his death.
Yeah,
and J. Edgar Hoover, probably Lyndon Johnson, any number of different people who were involved in his death. And so the idea that there may have been honest CIA people who were fighting against these dirty ones. There may have been honest FBI people who were fighting against these dirty FBI people. They're honest patriots, and they're, you know, they're corrupt ones. And that gets into, you're probably familiar with Operation Gladio,
mm-hmm.
or Project Gladio.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the idea that the American CIA was actually designed by a former Nazi, and, you know, that the... that Gladio was taking Nazis out of Germany, sneaking them out, and putting them into power in dictatorships around the world, Uruguay, Argentina, Brazil, the CIA, and that, you know, for years, this fight has been going on.
Well, and so, let me, Dave, just 1 second, let me interject this. Project Mockingbird back in the 70s.
And Paperclip as
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, and in fact, one of the problems I've got with Attorney General Barr right now is not only was he the Attorney General at the time that Oliver North got his pardon, but he also saw to it that Theodore Shackley, Theodore Shackley was seeing to it. There was heroin that was being developed in the Vietnam War in the Golden Crescent. Or was it the Golden Triangle in Asia,
mm-hmm.
right? And that heroin was being smuggled into America in the dead bodies of American troops.
That's right.
So whether or not they were intentionally allowing U.S. troops to get killed so they could use them as suitcases,
I don't think so. There's enough bodies in theaters of war that you don't have to go make your shipping containers; they just come to you.
Well, let's say they took advantage of it.
Exactly.
And apparently, was it Dover Air Force Base was a receiving section,
mm-hmm.
and Air America, the you know, the flights that were used to facilitate the heroin and you know, the Pepsi plant in Vietnam that never produced a single bottle of Pepsi, that it was used to produce heroin.
Right.
So, you know, this battle between you know, honest security people and very dirty ones has been going on for, what, Kennedy's been killed, what's that, going on 60 years ago
mm-hmm.
now. So,
which by the way, I had a conversation with another host today, and we were talking about the JFK assassination. I said, you know, there's still speculation about this. There's still being articles and books written about the JFK assassination. And I said, look how long it's been. Yeah. You're right. It's been going on 60 years, 57, 58 years. And I said,
right.
The problem with this is that now all the people that were firsthand, all the people that were in on this deal are all now dead. So
not
what,
all of them, but a great many of them.
Well, I would say pretty much all of them, pretty much all of them. But the point being that the witnesses are gone. And we're going to have, and I've said this before, we're going to have endless speculation on the JFK. And the one question that's really never hammered on is why? Why was the guy killed? You know? So, at any rate,
It has, in my eyes. When I moved out here to San Francisco, I got involved in media, and I started working on a number of different TV shows, cable access TV shows, Gary Aguilar, Hal Verb, any number, Paul Kangas, any number of different people who put together shows regarding the Kennedy assassination.
Right, right.
And almost to a person, you know, it was agreed that not only was organized crime very involved in foreign policy, and in fact, in 1991, there was a book.
David, I'm not going to do a JFK rundown. This is not a JFK show. If you can make your point.
Yeah, I'm talking dirty, you know, this goes back to whether or not Donald Trump is honest and clean, or whether he represents the dirty side, and whether or not the Democrats are attracting the clean security state people.
Oh,
and
geez,
this is where
David,
think I disagree with you.
Okay, well, you can disagree with me, but I think you're wrong.
we got good people
coming out of military intelligence to go fill the Democrats. It's the Democrats that are bringing these people in. Okay, so...
Well, it's like, you know, you can say military intelligence, but which ones? You know, it's like military intelligence is made up of a whole lot of different angles.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, are they all clean? Are they partially clean? And when you start looking, for example, at Adolf Hitler and Nazism, you know, those guys were more organized crime you know, the brown shirts were fighting against the black shirts.
Gone to JFK, to Adolf Hitler, and the brown shirts. David, I'm asking you to make your point because I'm going to be moving on, and I don't want to leave the impression with you that I'm tired of hearing what you're saying. So I'm asking you to please get to your point.
Yeah, the biggest point is that the rich are just as likely to get looted by the dirty. And so, you know, there are honest rich people, there are honest security state people who are just as likely to get ripped off and killed by the dirty. And so I don't find the Trump, you know, when I look at Roy Cohn, for example, or Paul Manafort, when you look at Roger Stone, those guys were called the torturer's lobby. You know, the torturer's lobby.
Okay, and this is the point that you wanted to make, David, because I'm going to give you 15 more seconds and then I'm moving on.
Yeah. Well, honest people need to regain America. We don't need organized crime and Nazis taking over America.
Well, and, you know, it's interesting. What be your brand if you have to go to default? Would it be a fascist or a communist? And I'll leave you with that. David, thank you. Thank you for your call. Thank you. Now, he's going to go, well, that gets into, no, it doesn't. Dr. Kelly, you're up. Hello. How you doing, Kelly?
Hey, thank you so much. I was trying to get through yesterday to give you a little bit of, I wanted to give the patent for fentanyl, that's United States, from 1964 in the number, but people keep calling in with fifth party, fourth, third, you know, hearsay, and I really appreciate your work, and I hope that if Hoppy Heidelberg is still among the living.
He's not.
Oh, and
dead.
I was hoping to get him to do an interview, but
you're gonna have to shuffle off the mortal coil to have further conversations with Hoppy.
And then I don't know if I can make it back. But thank you so much for mentioning him and his story, and I want to continue on the legacy. And thank you again.
All right, no problem, Kelly. Thank you, Keith Rogers. Hello, Keith.
Hey. Yeah, hello, John. Hey. I don't know if you caught my show last Sunday there. I had Lewis Wolf, which was the original editor of Covert Action magazine from back in the 70s. And they have recently restarted up their magazine again, which is available online. Anyway, the reason I'm calling is I had a lot of people on Twitter this morning talking to me about this, the so-called Cuban, you know, how great it was, you know, to see him, you know. But until Americans realize what the United States, and this isn't under Trump, but that, you know, what the United States has done to Cuba, and this goes back, clear back to 1954, to where they buried arms off of Grenada over there, which were Soviet seized during World War II, for a later incursion into Cuba, of which many of the CIA called at the time Cuba was America's little whorehouse.
And it was. Organized crime was down there with their gambling houses, and everybody was making money
hand over fist. The CIA, you know, CIA going there burning the fields and stuff. And this has been repeated all through Brazil, Chile. And so, you know, I guess the reason I'm calling is because when Americans see these so-called immigrants and stuff fleeing from those areas, it's because the CIA has installed these far-right fascist dictators in those countries. And those people flee that.
Well, wait a minute. Point of clarification. Fidel Castro is a far-right fascist?
No. See, there's two links there between Carter and JFK there. But no, this is where the so-called Soviet stuff came in. Remember in 79 when Carter was having his issue there, they kept trying to say that the Soviets had like 2,500 troops there. It's no different. Then when the Soviets sell someone some arms, they send in their military advisors to instruct them on how to, and this has all been proven by the CIA. Same thing with the U.S., how they send a bunch of missiles over to Poland, then they send in their advisors, and then now suddenly they withdraw from Germany, and now they're sending their troops to Poland. So that's the same exact scenario that Carter was facing of putting U.S. troops on Russia's border.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's just Americans don't realize what goes on in the background which causes this. And my other thing was, you know, yeah, it does sound like Trump is the only thing that would be good for this country, except under Trump right now, currently, tens of thousands of Venezuelans are being starved to death. Iranians are being starved to death. They're being denied medical through sanctions. The Syrians are being denied everything through sanctions. And this is the same scenario, though, that those, like, Secretary Pompeo, ex-CIA, mm-hmm. has gone into these countries and caused this. Mm-hmm. And so when you read headlines about a million Syrians fleeing Syria, well, wouldn't you flee the bombing and stuff too?
Absolutely. And yeah. and nobody and Keith, and Keith, nobody yeah. ever talks about Syria and how Bashar al-Assad, how he ran things over there. You know, this wasn't
also that. This, I was going to say, John, also they never talk about how he's a doctor. He trained in U.S. Yes. schools, in London schools and all like that.
Yeah.
Do no harm.
Well, and not only that, this guy, he had Arabs living there. He had Sunnis living there. He had Jews living there. It was, I guess if I transpose the melting pot of America to Syria, pretty much ideologically that's what it was. And everybody discovered that they could live side by side and still live in relative peace. And then we did this little exercise here that we were going to go after seven states over there for our buddies the Israelis, because the Israelis wanted to expand their territory.
John, in Iran, they have a democratically elected government. Even Jews sit in their parliament. They have refused $50,000 to move to Israel. Yeah. So, I can't see the difference between a bunch of religious mullahs over there in Iran than to those evangelical Christians over here that are behind U.S. foreign policy.
You know, one of the callers brought up the Iran-Contra thing. And, you know, there were many tendrils to that. And we really never got to the bottom of it, and it was really not ever investigated and satisfied as to what exactly went on, because there was a lot of cover-up. Actually, it was, who's the guy I'm trying to think of? He was in the military and, what? Ollie North, thank you very much. Ollie North, he had his own radio show after all this took place, and he was being hailed as a hero. Well, it was Ollie.
President of the NRA.
Yeah, and it was Ollie North that actually blew Barry Seal's cover. Barry was in there running coke and stashing millions of dollars. He was up in Mena, Arkansas. He was given a full-blown airport, hundreds and hundreds of acres in which to operate out of. And when the FBI and the BATF, and it was called the ATF at the time, and other federal agencies all showed up to arrest Barry Seal at that airport, there came a phone call from the then-governor, Billy Clinton, that told the state attorney general, hands off this guy, let him go.
Yeah.
Now,
well, even Trump goes back to the Contras there, John. He extorted the Wharton College funds for the ammo for the Contras, and he's linked to the Khashoggis. The whole list. And William Barr, who went into Panama to grab Noriega that ended America's drug problems, ha, ha, ha. You know, I mean, the whole thing, Panama was the banking system used to funnel all the money for the drugs and the, you know.
All right. Thanks for your call, Keith.
All right. Have a good one, okay?
Yeah. You know, after talking with Keith sometimes, I get the impression that the only way out of this, let's have a nuclear war, scrub the entire planet of human life, and let's start all over again. Maybe the cockroaches will take over. Robert in Kansas. Hello, Robert.
Hey, John. Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to speak to a caller, David, who brought up Hitler, the Nazis, JFK, all this stuff. And I want to let him know that the Nazis were the last warriors to fight the satanic Jewish banking cartel that rules us today.
And Robert, I'll let you finish here, but I'm having a hard time with people that are still running around and going, well, Hitler hated education and he was book burning. Well, they never described the books and the literature that was being burned. It was all the communist propaganda. And what happened to Berlin being turned into nothing but a gigantic whorehouse and some of the worst things imaginable human beings could do to each other? Hitler wanted that gone. Hold on.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Robert, still there?
Hey, John, I'm here. You're right about the book burning. The Nazis, they took out what's called the Hirschfeld Institute, which is a sexual science college, basically. They were the homosexual emancipation, advocate of transgenders, pedophilia, everything. And so they took all those books that said that homos can get married, that, you know, you can have sex with kids, that men can be women. They took all those books and they burned them.
Well,
and then people say, oh, well, they're just burning books.
Well, and Robert,
and it's like,
Robert, fast forward to today. What are we seeing? Same thing.
Well, they're just not allowed. No true information is allowed anywhere in the colleges, but it's...
No. You're missing my point. What I'm saying is the perversion of this. You're seeing it repeat itself almost verbatim in this country. Going after school children, kindergartners, first graders. It's okay if you're a boy and you want to be a girl. What the heck does that have to do with reading, writing, and arithmetic? It doesn't. The government propaganda schools are being allowed to run rampant and taint the minds of these young people with subject matter that they're years away from even thinking about.
And John, who do the schools demonize above all? It is the white male, the German, the Christian. the example of what is good is demonized the most in our schools now. And then you have a caller call in and say that the Nazis are running things. Well, who's running our schools then? Because our schools teach that the Nazis are the archetype of evil. And so someone who's running the schools isn't running, you know, I mean, it just has no, it makes no logical sense to say that the Nazis took over our government when, in fact, it's all the bankers, the same people that the Nazis were fighting, the same people who ran Britain, they ran Russia,
yep,
and they took over Europe, and now they've taken over the United States. And we see the communism coming in from the central bank, from that same group of people, and why they blame us for all being Nazis, just because we don't like pedophilia and we don't like abortion.
Well, I'll tell you what, Robert. I strongly suggest to people, and it's a long documentary, 6 hours plus, but Adolf Hitler, the greatest story never told. And I tell people and I warn them, even if half of this is nothing but pure, unadulterated propaganda, the half of the information, and, you know, I'm just putting up that benchmark as if to say, even if half of this story isn't true, what you're going to learn will just bring you to tears, as it did. I don't watch hour upon hour hardly of anything, but I watched that from beginning to end. And at the end of that, I was in tears, because what I really learned is the true motivations as to why Germany had to be destroyed. This didn't happen because of Adolf Hitler coming into power in 1933, was it? No. This happened before. Germany was slated after World War I. They started to recognize that this, in Europe, was really the powerhouse of the brains and the engineering and the work ethic. Germany had to be done away with, and that campaign started in the late 20s, early 30s, to actively go after Germany. Then Adolf Hitler popped up, and he was the new target.
John, they were a moral people. They resisted usury and perversion, and they had to be destroyed for it, and that's what's happening here. Thank you for letting me talk, sir. You are the man, and I really appreciate your program. Have a good day.
Thank you, Robert. I appreciate your call. Mike in Colorado, let's start you here. If I got to carry you over, I will. Go ahead. Mike in Colorado.
You know, I'll probably be pretty quick. How you doing, sir? Had this cool conversation today at work with three people, and they were all talking about the destroying downtown Denver Saturday night and Portland and all these things and all the inequity and all the police, and they were in this whole big thing. And I was sitting back, and I was just listening and waiting for my opportunity. And my friend Paul said, so who's got the solution? And I said, I do. And they said, oh, yeah? And I said, yeah, sure. It's the money system. I said, everything you guys are talking about, all the ills of society, the inequity, the disparity, the lack of education,
oh,
everything you guys are talking about.
Oh, you're a dangerous man.
Can be tied back. So the money system, and then I spent about 10 or 12 minutes just kind of giving them a history of the central banks of the country, the Federal Reserve Act, usury, and all these things.
Yeah.
And I got one person at the end that said, so if we controlled the money, then we could kind of fix all this stuff. And I said, absolutely.
Oh, there'd be money flowing out our ears. Are you kidding?
And I thought about you.
Did you?
I did, because I thought about you, because years ago, you and I have talked for years, and years ago you and I had a phone conversation where you said, it really is, this really is. It's not that it's the root of all evil, it's the way that our currency is being controlled,
yep,
that really stems all these other problems. And I think you're 100% right. It kind of ties back into that last caller.
Mm-hmm.
But if we could educate people on this aspect of the human experience, I wonder if we couldn't make more progress than trying to get them to appreciate the founders.
Well, and I think other issues, and what you're talking about is knowledge. And knowledge is the great destroyer, isn't it?
Yeah, and the great emancipator.
That's exactly right. All right. Hey, Mike, appreciate
your
call.
Thanks for taking my call.
Okay, sir.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
The Republic Broadcasting Network late night premiere show of Red Pill Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the red pill.
Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
We're back. John in Michigan. Hello, John.
Hello, John. It's a wonderful day up northern Michigan, and I'm trail free so far, but I want to just bring up a few bits of information that I can share about, like, the Nazis. You have an advertiser, newswithviews.com, and Dr. Cuddy has a whole series on the history of the Nazis, yeah, which I think is pretty extensive and explains a lot, mm-hmm, of how they... But also, the education system... I'm getting an echo. Is it from my end, John?
Yeah, it's not here. Go ahead.
Okay, well, there's a book, The NEA, The Trojan Horse of American Education, and explains how they studied in Russia, in Frankfurt, Germany, to bring the techniques back to this system here. And so it is a sort of a communist-based program that they're being influenced by. And as far as the heroin goes, General Gold Greitz, he broke into the triangle, the Golden Triangle, and met with Kunze, who was running the heroin out of that area. And he was asked how do you get your protection? And he was told that comes from Washington, D.C.
Well, and so, if you remember up in Michigan, when I was up there and involved with the militias, there was a guy that was actually on patrol in Vietnam, and he knew about the heroin. And one day they're out on patrol, He was with the 1st AirCap. They were out on patrol, and he knew of one helicopter that just kind of dropped into an area, disappeared for a little while, and now it's back in flight, and he knew doggone right well that that chopper had a lot of heroin on board. Now, in Vietnam at the time, the armament on a Huey was a 60 caliber, and he put a few rounds through it, and all you could see is white trails coming out of that helicopter. Yeah.
Well, another story, well, I had friends that came back from Vietnam, and they had these cigarette packs of marijuana sticks, Thai sticks,
mm-hmm.
and they were produced by Fidel Castro's brother in Khrushchev out of Czechoslovakia. Khrushchev had a whole program. This was, I heard, back in the 90s, a program that was really exposing all this, and their intent was to get the troops hooked on heroin, and when they bombed one of the northern cities, I think Saigon, their agenda was to throw all of these all this heroin over the fences of our military bases, and that really affected a lot of our military.
Until somebody finally figured out that because you smoke pot, it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be a heroin addict. Yeah.
Well, exactly. Yeah. So there are a lot of stories and information out there that people. And we're still protecting the poppy plants in Afghanistan too. So
well, and there's still a degree of the what I would consider to be the deep state, but only the actors, the people that are there to, well, to keep the money and the drugs flowing, and Ollie North was one of those people, and I'm still fascinated to this day that people do not make the connection between Oliver North. Do not make the connection with Barry Seal, with Mena, Arkansas, and Bill Clinton to this day. I mean, a movie was made about it, for God's sakes. It was a Hollywood production.
It's all out there. And they used to use the airport here in Bel Air for running drugs in, too, that they would come in with heavy planes and dark of night in storms, and then they'd ship them down to the Detroit area. So they had their wings all over this country with program that Bill Clinton and George Bush Sr. were involved with completely.
Absolutely. So. John, thanks for your call.
Yeah, God bless you.
Thank you. Appreciate your call. I'm going to get tagged here with more phone calls. Let me clear this up because there's another story I want to get to on a political basis, but demonstrates what people are recognizing and what they're changing in their own cities. Remember me saying in our own backyards? Yeah. Bob in Colorado. Hello, Bob.
Hey, oh my gosh, how you doing?
Good.
I have so many things to say.
Well, pick a few. Pick a few.
I'm going to pick one.
Okay.
I went up to my neighbor's house. I live up here, 8,200 feet up in southern Colorado, and I wish you had a website that we could all, like, try to connect because you are important. But I talked to my friend today, and I said, would you ever want to listen to the alternative media? He said no, because they're trying to destroy our country.
Hmm.
And I'm like, yo, dude, what are the Democrats talking about? And anyway, I had a couple other things I wanted to say, but that just blew me away. And this is a liberal. They will not listen to the other side of this story.
Well, and Bob, one of the previous callers said that, you know, maybe it's time to start, well, not derailing their argument, but filling in some other areas. To explain to them that, you know, slavery, do you want to be a slave? Well, of course not. I don't want to be a slave. Well, you are right now. Well, how can you say that? I'm free. Well, are you?
Right.
And then you start talking about the money system. And they're aghast because they know nothing about it.
I have in my pocket the two videos that Judy Mikovits did with the plandemic.
Mm.
And I said, would you be willing to watch this? He said, absolutely not.
And you're never going to change that person's mind because they're
no.
scared stiffless. I mean, they really are.
Yeah, they're scared to know the truth.
Yeah. And that's a shame, but you know what?
Zionism.
Yeah, but here again, if you rip out the roots of that, the rest of that will dry up. But what have they been fed? A constant diet from the controlled media. The very people that are backing and controlling, like the bankers, like the real New World Order, the architects of globalism. You know, if they start to hear these sorts of things, they might change their mind. But again, if you go to the root of the problem and you start ripping it out, the leaves of the tree will fall off. They'll die and fall off. And that's what's got to be done.
I'm hoping that people that are listening to your show will read a book. It's called A History of Zionism by Walter Lacouture, or however you say that in French. And it shows this whole freaking thing that's coming down with the Bolsheviks, like they took over Germany. Yep. And I'm going to tell you what, right now, John, you have, I can't remember her name off the top of my head. She's got a three-hour show. And she's had a guy on that has done the history of Germany, and he is so spot on. This was a takeover of the Bolshevik Jews. And I don't want to get into Jewishness and all that stuff, but I've read enough, and I listen to your program every single day. And your weekends are the most mind-blowing. But I'm telling you right now that we better wake up, and I don't agree with Trump, with what he's doing for the most part, but he's the only hope we have left after what he said the other day, that we do have a First and Second Amendment right. I will listen off air. Thank you, John. You have a wonderful network. I love you guys, and I'll let you go.
Thank you. I appreciate it very much. Well, just to throw into the mix here, Republican National Committee officially repudiates discredited Southern Poverty Law Center. And this was the non-governmental organization that was elevated almost to cabinet status, not quite, but right next to it during the Obama administration, along with the American Defamation League, okay, that was the protectorate. Oh, gosh, you're anti-Semitic. You talk anything about the Jews, you're a racist. You're an anti-Semite. No, there's good Jews and there's bad Jews. There's good Italians and bad Italians. There's good Catholics and bad Catholics. But it's amazing that the people that will put up the resistance and not even listen, and I get that and I understand it. But when the Republican National Committee comes out and officially discredits and repudiates Southern Poverty Law, I've been talking about them for years. And Mark Scott, my buddy from Detroit, the talk show host up there, that he didn't want to hear anything about it. Well, he and I got to talk, and many doors were opened. Many doors. And one of them was from Southern Poverty Law, Morris Lees, that I called him. And I actually called into his radio show on that one day, and I'm listening to this guy, and I had already read the divorce papers from his wife, Maureen, and all the shenanigans that this character was up to, including using sex toys on his 14-year-old stepdaughter, wanting to have menage a trois with bisexual men at the Watergate Hotel in Washington, D.C. All that was part of the divorce proceedings, and it was a matter of record. And when I called into that show and brought that up, Mark Scott didn't know what happened to his guests, but I kind of figured it out. You heard this loud bang, and he didn't know what had happened. Well, Morris Dees actually threw his telephone up against the wall. He didn't want to hear that. And all these years later, people finally figured it out. Well, Morris Slees is no longer part of Southern Poverty Law, and Southern Poverty Law has been pretty much thoroughly discredited. What we've been telling people for years. Yeah. Let me snag one more call here. Dave in Michigan. Hello, Dave. Hello, Dave. I'm sorry?
Hello?
There you are.
I'm sorry, John. I had an emergency phone call, and you said hello, Dave, right as I don't know.
Okay, go ahead.
I got to tell you, John, I'm really laughing hard listening to some of these callers that call your show. I really have learned to appreciate, you know, your time or my time with you on the phone, because I get a lot of laughs in. There's a lot of grim news, but you still make me laugh. So I got to tell you, you give that Dave guy from California way too much birth.
Well, and I'm trying to trim him back, and I'm telling him, okay, you got a point here, and he was ready after I told him several times, and oh, that brings something else to mind. No, it doesn't. Not to me. Thank you.
But it did make me laugh, and it makes me think. I listened to a lot of shows on your broadcast, and he seems to call most of the shows, and he does that to every one of the hosts.
David is an interesting individual. I think that with David, he's somebody that really wants to be convinced against his own convictions, but he doesn't have the courage of his own convictions. But you know, he's still trying.
I hear you, brother.
Yeah. Well,
I got to tell you, here in Michigan, I haven't. You know, I talked to a lot of business owners, and none of them ever got one letter from the governor, from the state, from anybody telling them that they had to close or they could stay open because they were an essential provider. And it looks to me like this whole thing is being perpetrated by these mega corporations like Walmart and the media. Mm-hmm. They're the only ones that's telling everybody. Why is anybody listening to these people? I don't get it.
Because they figure that it's officialdom. Most people that are still running around with masks and are scared to death and are now outing other people that don't have masks, and I could never figure that out, because a person that wants to wear a mask and run around and is social distance from the other person that doesn't have a mask on, who's at threat, according to their thinking? Well, it's the person without the mask. What are they worried about? They're covered. They got their mask
right
on. Yeah, it's
right.
Absolute balderdash, but that shows you the ignorance level, and ignorance is caused by lack of fact. And what have you been getting from the media? Not fact, a lot of supposition and a lot of crap. And people are starting to figure that out.
Yeah, I hope so. I think what it's doing with the masks, anyway, it's showing us who the real libtards are, especially the ones, maybe not the ones in the stores, because they're just afraid, but, you know, to not to say no because they want to anyway. But the people you see driving around in their cars by themselves that are wearing masks, you know those people are going to be the first ones in line to get a flu shot or a vaccine.
And you know what? There's more than one way to cleanse a society of bad people, isn't there? That's one way to look at it.
I'm telling you, brother.
But here,
I'm just hoping and praying for that one.
But here again, you know, a lot of people have not had the opportunity to listen to another viewpoint. They have been conditioned their entire lives. So when this officialdom rolls out and you see the Walmarts and the big box stores and the local communities and, they're taking their cues from officialdom, from Dr. Fauci, that's been proved to be nothing more than a witch doctor heretic and involved up to his eyeballs. If you want to say conflict of interest, this guy is a walking example of it. So this stuff is starting to finally filter through. You know, I mean, this is a big thing with the Dallas Cowboys down here and the governor of Texas going, okay, you know, you can have people in the stands come September. That was huge. That was huge. But I'll tell you who started that. It's the other people that got the Ford emblem on their stadium, and that's the Detroit Lions, because their $100 million quarterback tested positive for COVID-19, and they found out it was a bad test. And then it was another bad test. And that's when the management went to the NFL and said, hey, wait a minute here. Something ain't right. Now, guess who got wind of that one? Oh, that's right. The guy that owns the Dallas Cowboys in his billion-dollar little palace down there. At any rate, I got to move on. Thank you for your call.
Oh, God, thank you. All right. Keep me laughing, brother.
Well, wait. I'm going to go into stand-up comedy here pretty soon. Man, I got a lot of material. I got a lot. At any rate,
rolling around here to Austin. Now, Mike and I were talking during the break. Folks, this goes back. There's been an uptick in crime in Central Texas, and I'll tell you when it started. Hurricane Katrina, New Orleans, other areas are flooded out. People were being evacuated, left on bridges. I don't need to tell you the story. You know it. But what happened is a lot of people come in from Louisiana into Central Texas, and guess what they brought with them? A lot of problems. A lot of crime. A lot of problems. But let's slide in the communist Democrats, or whatever you want to call them. Bolsheviks, I guess. From Texas Scorecard. Mismanagement by our current city council is so flagrant that it's impossible to ignore it any longer. There's a pivotal war for power unfolding in Texas's capital here. Amid scenes of citizens forced out of their homes, iconic businesses shuttering from suffocating taxes, uncontrolled homelessness scattering across town, intensifying lawlessness spreading on the streets, and defunded police officers actually leaving their jobs, some citizens are now arising to take City Hall back from the all-Democrat Austin City Council, who helped create the current reality in the Texas Capitol. For this November's local election, 20 candidates are running for just 5 available seats on the City Council. All of the incumbent Democrat council members trying to stay in power this year are facing some pretty stiff competition. The current council has harmed and angered citizens through a variety of recent ongoing decisions. Last year, the council allowed homeless individuals to camp in nearly all public spaces across the city, igniting a wildfire public backlash and safety risk. Last week, the council defunded the local police department by a third, spent part of the police money on killing children. I didn't have the time to research that statement, but hit already struggling citizens with even higher tax bills. On taxes alone, the council wants to take over $500 more cash from the median homeowner next year, despite being in a time when over 130,000 Austinites recently lost their jobs because of these government shutdowns. Despite already taking 100% more annually from the median homeowner compared to just 12 years ago, and despite already spending roughly double the amount city officials Dallas and Houston pay out. These are big cities, folks. Austin ain't that big, but they're outspending them. Mismanagement by our current city council is so flagrant that it's impossible to ignore it any longer, said candidate Jennifer Verdon, a native Austinite running for city council's Western located District 10 seat. Verdon said in a press release that one of the council's proposed mammoth tax increases, a record-expensive $7 billion rail and bus plan that's up for a public vote in November, is a train wreck that right now we can't afford. This is an absolute worst time to raise taxes for old, tired transportation technology, she said. Austinites and local businesses alike are struggling right now. To increase city property taxes by 25% is downright irresponsible and tone-deaf. Current city council members have completely lost our trust, our faith, and our support, and for good reason, wrote candidate Robert Thomas, an attorney also running for District 10, on his campaign website. The council created a financial nightmare burden on Austin families by raising property taxes. It's time for me to step up, and instead of just ranting and raving to friends and neighbors, said candidate for Northwest District 6, D. Harrison, a retired Texas Department of Criminal Justice employee. She said she's taken issue with the council's bonehead decisions on homelessness and defunding the police. Harrison's incumbent opponent, council member Jimmy Flanagan, recently proposed demolishing the police headquarters building downtown and using the property to instead address historic economic inequities in the black community. Nothing is more symbolic of recent efforts to defund the police than the scheme to demolish Austin Police Headquarters, said candidate Mackenzie Kelly, a native Austinite, also running for District Seat 6. If anyone for even a second thinks that these proposals are designed to save money or increase accountability, Remember that Jimmy Flanagan is now proposing a swinging a wrecking ball at the very heart of law and order in our city. A majority of the city wants to preserve law and order, and we can do better than Flanagan in November. Indeed, violent crime in Austin has increased over the last couple of years. More local police officers are leaving the force now than in the past 3 years. And a recent Wall Street Journal report revealed Austin currently, are you ready for this one? Has the highest year-to-year percent increase nationwide in homicides. This was not too many years ago a very rare occurrence in Austin, folks. They were too busy getting high and playing music. Right, Mike? Right. Several of the city council candidates spoke on how Austin City Council is following the same path as far-left cities such as Seattle, Portland, and San Francisco's, who similar decisions on police, homelessness, and taxes are causing nightmares of lawlessness and unattainable cost of living, forcing citizens to flee the city. This election is an opportunity for us to change our city's current trajectory and move forward in the right direction, candidate Verdon added. Let's become the city that others aspire to be, not repeat others' failed policies. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is what I've been referring to as your backyard politics. What is your own city doing? What are you doing to challenge these mindless little bureaucrats? You know, it's really not that hard. It's probably one of the easiest political elections to win, and that's of a city council. You know, there's weaknesses there. Somebody retires, somebody gets old, somebody dies. You know, I mean, this is small-town politics. You know, it doesn't attract the real power mongers and hunger mongers, but it's been taken over by libtards. And there, if you organize and you run candidates, you can sit and complain about them sitting there, or you can take their seats away from them. They're not going to leave voluntarily. You have to force them out. So how do you do it? Well, there's many ways, but I think the best and probably the most legal way is to run against them and defeat them. Because it's becoming easier for people to say, look, look what's going on. Look what's happening in your own backyard, finally. You know, this was always for Americans, this was always happening someplace else. Here in Round Rock, you talk to somebody about what's going on in Portland or, you know, whatever, and they go, oh yeah, I heard something about that. It's not happening in their own city. It's far, far away. They don't have to worry about it until it shows up in your own backyard, and then people start to worry. Folks, however this turns out, this election come November, this is not going to be easy. None of this moving forward is going to be easy, but people are walking and talking, they're taking direct action, and they're starting to have effect. This is how you win. And I'm not going all political on you, because you know my ideas of politics. But when the Trojan horse is rolled into the gates and you close the gate behind it and you get drunk and you wake up the next morning and you're either dead or you're taken over, get the idea. All right, that'll do it for us today. I appreciate people letting me go with my political commentary in the first hour. I just had to get that out because there were some good words spoken. Now it's time for the action. Forget the words. Let's go to work. I'll see you tomorrow. Thank you for being here today.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.